I think the message of this book is very good. I haven't read it. I bought it. It's sitting on my shelf at home.
That's all that's required.
But of course, I've read the reviews. This is what you do. And then you buy a book and then you need to read it. You are echoing what the accepted understanding now is. It's not just a demography professors always pick the nicest places to live. It's not just the professor and his team from Vienna. It's also the team in Florence and the team in Berkeley and San Francisco, who are saying the UN 11.2 is out. The UN will be updating their figure this year. I published a book called Population 10 Billion in 2013. And I published it because I thought 10 billion was an overshoot. I think that the UN were actually better with 9. The reason for that, if you are pedant about this, it's in the end of a very long, far too long book, is that the UN projections miss out baby booms. The world has had enormous baby booms, not just the ones that we know in countries that count babies, which is the post-war boom in the Western world, but the baby boom that followed the revolution in China, the baby boom that followed the partition of India. And once you look at the baby booms, you can actually see the deceleration is likely to be faster worldwide. We're beginning to get that. We will find out in the next 10 years. The great thing about this is you don't have to wait to 2100. Not only is the UN almost certainly going to produce figures this year saying it's altered from what it believed in 2017, but the fertility estimates keep on coming in and they keep on getting lower and lower everywhere. So this thing is happening. What are the implications? Let me just give you two. One implication, I'm based in the School of Geography and the Environment with Oxford. The majority of my colleagues are climate change scientists. They help school children on the 15th with their demonstrations, which are going to get bigger and bigger. If we don't reduce carbon emissions in the next 12 years, we have a 66% chance of reaching the 1.5 degrees C rise in temperatures with very dire implications. However, and this is really, really important, there is a very weak link between population numbers and carbon emissions. Really weak. I get upset when my very young colleagues, female, in their 20s, tell me they've decided not to have children to save the planet. I'm not brass enough to say to them, for God's sake, have a child and teach that child to be a climate change warrior. And they will reduce carbon in their lifetime by so many thousand times more than the average child will. The equation, the really simple equation, that the more people you have, the more of something will occur, is banal. You can play it with anything. You can play it with the murder rate, you can play it with the number of books people buy. Carbon is emitted in very, very high amounts by people in a very few countries and by a tiny proportion of those people. Essentially, it's us. I fly quite often. It's people like me. The people who are in EasyJet are social class ABC1 going on holiday. The people who have multiple flights in their own private jets a year, the people who can own gas guzzling cars, the people who don't have to worry about the fuel bill. If you really are worried about emissions, you have to worry about a small number of people. And the vast bulk of the growth in the world's population is not in those places where the emissions are supposed to be high. And you have to worry about equality. The average person in Japan produces pollution at half the rate of the average person in the USA. We still need two planets, everybody behaves like the Japanese, but the biggest correlate of pollution for a nation is this degree of economic inequality, which interestingly also fits with fertility decline. The more equal a nation is, the faster the fertility actually declines and falls. I completely agree with Robin about contraception. We have to absolutely make sure it is available in high quality, easily, and abortion everywhere in the world. It's simply a right. It's simply right. So this is absolutely vital. But do not think that there is almost any relationship between population numbers and carbon emissions. The Japanese have been dropping their number of cars, I think, for 30 years, less and less and less each year. The second thing is markets, because you're talking about the growing older female market. It's much more fundamental than that, I think. The rise of market capitalism, which began in Amsterdam in 1600 and something, when René Descartes said all around me is madness, everybody's been taken over by the greed of money. The rise of our current way of living coincided with the population explosion worldwide. As we Europeans went out and disrupted every single stable social system on the planet, systems that have been stable for millennia in China, tens of millennia in Australia, as we went out with our ships to get the silver from Latin America and to trade the cotton that we made people from Africa who we'd shipped over plant and take it all the way down to New Zealand. As we did that, the global population grew incredibly. That growth in population allows firms to expect every year to make a bigger profit than they made the year before, because essentially there are more people who can buy cans of Coca-Cola each year. If you're on the default, you're going to return a profit. Now, what is fascinating about the population slowdown, the first slowdown which has not been caused by famine or war or pestilence, is that that model stops working. So you've either got to sell a stable or falling, because you're right, it's not going to be two, it's 1.5 or one, a stable or falling population, more things that they do not need, or you have to adapt what you're actually doing in terms of firms. And it won't just be that they're older, a majority women. It's easy to sell men flashy cars, it's harder to sell women flashy cars. It's not only that they're older, the majority of them would have been to university. They would understand why an advert appears on whatever the future equivalent of Facebook is, when Facebook doesn't exist in 10 years' time. They're going to become immune to the kind of clever advertising we think we can do. You learn not to buy stuff you do not need, it does not make you happy. This is a great opportunity for Ipsos Mori, because if you want to be ahead, you need to tell your clients, we've got to stop treating the customers as gullible children, and we've got to start treating them as people like us, and work out how to sell people things that will last a lifetime, that they might be willing to spend quite a lot of money on, because of the quality of what they're buying, not to bulk volume produce for children, which, to end on, essentially is what a can of Coca-Cola was based on. I think what's happening is incredibly exciting. It's there in the numbers, you can see it coming, where women get the greatest choice, and that ranges from Hong Kong to Barcelona to Finland to Shanghai, now the two-child policy is gone. They are more often choosing one child than two. And it's a fascinating division, because you can't have 1.5 children.
No,
where one child becomes normal, you're going to be looking at very, very rapid immigration in just to keep the cities the same size.
Thank you very much, Danny. Thank you, Danny.